If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Hallie.
I'm Allison.
And this is Ruined, a podcast where we ruin a horror movie just for you.
Just for you.
Allison, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Man, I'm good. Just I'm off this week and I'm trying to relax and I don't know how to do it and I've forgotten and I feel like, you know, how do people do it? How do you just sit there, read a book, enjoy yourself?
I've
been writing more, which is good because like at least I'm using my
amazing
inability to relax in a productive way. But like, you know, I'd like to think I could read a little book, I could take a little stroll. I just can't do it right now.
Yeah, it's really hard. I feel like the pandemic has like really changed, like because so much like my life used to be like, oh, relaxing is when you're at home. That's like what everything else like you do outside your house. You go to work, you go do stand up, you go to things with friends that are like, you know, some are relaxing but some are stressful. You know, therapy, all these things happened outside the home. And now they all happen. And so, like, home felt like such a, like, this is, I'm home, I'm relaxing. I'm not really doing anything. Maybe I'm cleaning. That's about it. And now it's just like, oh, I'm home, but I'm, what is home?
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, it's your home. It's like, also you have to work. Also, you have to live your entire life.
Your entire life.
Oh, boy. You gave me a lot to think about, Allison.
Well, I hope you can relax. I don't know how.
Thank you. I'm going to try.
You know, give it a whirl.
I also have a lot of creepy books I want to read. So.
Ooh, that's like that like feels productive, but also relaxing.
Yeah. You know, and also as I read them, I'll give you updates. If I have any recommendations, I will also bring them to the pod.
Yes.
I'm trying to like read before bed, you know, like you're supposed to like not look at screens. So I'm trying to like read a book for a little bit.
I've tried that and it's just like
struggling.
Isn't working.
Also, before I forget, we wanted to say, you know, RIP to a phenomenal actor, James Caan, if you listen to the pod, was the main character in Misery, Paul Sheldon, famed novelist and victim. And, you know, phenomenal career, but since we did it fairly recently, just wanted to shout out to him.
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent work.
Wow, really a peek behind the curtain of when we record this.
That's
true. No one knows that it happened today, but it happened today. So.
Yeah, I don't think that our listeners think we're on the cutting edge of anything.
No.
This could be weeks from now, and the idea that we just heard about that also seems very plausible.
Also totally plausible.
Oh, yeah, they didn't know? Sure. Those gals don't know nothing. Those gals are finding out things when they find them out. But yeah, we are doing this week, speaking of Misery, a Stephen King month. It wasn't intentional, but now we are going for it. And luckily, there's a lot of good and bad Stephen King movies based on Stephen King properties. And some of them I didn't even know existed. So this is exciting. And one of them was one that I just watched for the first time because of the pod. And I was kind of like, I honestly picked it because it's the shortest one that I could find. And I was like, I just can't. Obviously, we want to do Stephen King's It. We want to do The Langoliers. I just didn't have it in me to do a 3-hour plus watch, you know, this week. I just couldn't.
I mean, that is like the thing.
Yeah. I mean, I love both of those, and we absolutely will do them. But just, like, I have to figure out the exact time to do them in a week where it will not destroy me to have to, like, watch hours and then write my notes on it. But the one we're doing this week is a real delight, and I really enjoyed it, and that is 1983's Christine.
Love it.
And Allison, we had you watch the trailer. What are your thoughts about Christine based on the trailer?
I love that the trailer, at least, like, the trailer that I watched, is what like was like styled and presented as a car ad.
Oh, fun. I mean, and that's what you're getting with this movie. It's a lot of fun. So good. I'm glad.
Yeah. I love like things that are parody and things that are, you know, just like genre borrowing and things like that. So like watching I was like, ooh, amazing. And then also like it's funny because like we know like the movie to ten, which we have not done.
Yes.
We need to do that. But it's like nice to be like, oh, this is kind of like the early version. Like an early version of like a car, a machine, something that isn't human, maybe becoming human. I love, 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 love the tagline, which was like body by Plymouth, soul by Satan or something like that.
So good.
So funny.
And this is, of course, it's based on a Stephen King property, but it is directed by John Carpenter, who, again, if you listen to the pod, obviously director of The Thing, director of In the Mouth of Madness, you know, a director of a lot of different films, you know, Big Trouble in Little China, Halloween. We haven't done The Fog. We have to do that. Escape from New York. And I really think he brought, there were a lot of moments where I really did think this is a John Carpenter moment. He adds a flair to the visual that I think somebody else who would have made this movie is like, hey, you know, car kills people, yeah. You know. But he's really, because of the simplicity, I think, of the premise, he's allowed to do some really fun things with cars.
Yeah.
In a way that I was like, this was the right call. He was the right director for this. And he elevated the material. And with that in mind, we'd like to take a baseline scary. Allison, how scary do you find the concept of an evil car? Ooh, an evil car.
Evil car. I mean, I find cars frustrating. And I already have, like, my relationship, I'm not, like, afraid of driving, and I'm not, like, I hate driving. Like, I didn't like driving in L.A. just because, like, I never really got the lay of the land, and so I felt like I really never knew where I was going, and, like, the concept of, like, parking was very stressful. But, like, I wasn't, like, I'm afraid to drive. Like, I've grew up in the suburbs. I, like, drive in New York City often for a person who doesn't have a car. But there is something scary about, like, I drove a lot when I lived, when I went to college, which was, I went to Cornell. I was going to be like in Ithaca, and it's like, don't do that. But I went, and it was very, very snowy. And there were like a lot of times like going up the hills and like when it was snowy and icy or going down the hill where like, you are not in control of the car anymore. Like nature has taken over, not the car. But there is something like really scary about like, you're going down a hill and it's like, I'm braking. But the car isn't stopping because we are on a sheet of ice that goes directly down into a lake.
In this case, you say, Jesus, take the wheel.
Yeah, Jesus, take the wheel.
And I agree. Like, I don't really drive. I didn't drive in New York. I don't really drive in LA. I'm capable of it. I have a license, but I usually take public transportation. Yeah. And I feel like that has made me think about cars in a very different way. Mm-hmm. But I still think of them as like, oh, if there's a problem, it's usually due to, you know, human error. Unless we're talking about like the Tesla and these other self-driving cars.
We are dipping our toe into evil car, the world of evil cars.
And let's say we, you know, eventually we're going to, you know, there was that that guy, was he at Google, the engineer who thinks the AI chatbot is sentient. There's a lot of evidence it's not, but he's concerned the AI is becoming sentient. I'm saying you put that AI in a self-driving car, baby, you got yourself Christine all over again.
I mean.
And I'll get the first one off the line. No, I don't want that.
No, I don't
I feel bad for when that inevitably happens.
I do like that it's a woman.
Yes. And I guess in the same way that, like, boats are women.
Anything that has to,
objects.
Like,
women are objects, Allison? God.
But I like that it's, like, she has power. Like, that it's not, like Brad, evil car, you know?
Brad, exactly.
That it's Christine. And there's, like, I think that, like, part of it is, like, there's an allure to, you know, women as like objects anyway. And like, I would imagine that that's how like Christine can continue being an evil entity and not be destroyed the first time she just completely takes over driving. I feel like every like 2 years, like it resurfaces in the New York Post or something like that. Like those people that are in love and in committed relationships and sexual relationships with inanimate objects. And there's always somebody, and it's always the same guy, because I'm like, we saw this on TLC like 8 years ago.
Wants to keep talking about it.
I'm in love with my car. But there's like that woman who married a bridge. I mean, there's like a whole bunch of that stuff. Yeah. But like, I could see, like,
But you can, but I can. Also can't. Yeah.
I could fall in love with a car. No, I could never.
I mean, it's
not a
gorgeous
car.
I mean, Christine is a 1957 Plymouth Fury, cherry red, got the fins on the back, gorgeous, gorgeous car. So I'm like, if you're going to fall in love with the car, an aesthetically beautiful car makes sense.
Yeah. Not like an old station wagon, which then am I putting my own beauty standards
on?
Or
like a Toyota Corolla.
Yeah.
You know, like it's well made, it's going to last you a long time, but it's nothing to look at, you know. Yeah. Christine is gorgeous. And before I begin, would you like to guess the twist in Christine?
Guess the twist.
I'm going to guess that it's like how Satan's soul got into the car, like something about, great, like the twist will be like, oh, it was like nobody manufactured this. Like it showed up out of nowhere. Like maybe it's the devil's car.
Love it.
It's absolutely the devil's car.
Yes, the original title, Christine, called The Devil's Car. So let us begin ruining Christine. So we open on that American institution, the car factory, as we hear that song, Bad to the Bone, playing.
Sure.
And I got a question I wrote in my notes is, what is a car's bones, Allison? What constitutes being bad to the bone if you're a car?
I guess, like, the chassis?
Yeah, that's it. Like, no further questions, Your Honor. It's the chassis. Nailed it.
Like, the skeleton of it, the structure, everything that, like, creates what is, like, that you put, you know, the metal and then the paint on, then you put the engine in. Like the engine is like an organ and not a bone.
To put it more simply, the chassis. Absolutely. You nailed it.
Isn't that right? I don't know.
So it is the September 1957. You think I know? I have no concept
you
of
asked
what
me.
Is, I know. That's
you
a
think
funny
I
idea.
Know?
No, none of us do.
None of us do.
But we find ourselves, it is September 1957 at a Chrysler Corporation factory in Detroit. And we see this gorgeous cherry red Plymouth Fury almost at the end of the line. So it's just sort of getting inspected, like the last little touches, making sure that everything's there. And we see a plant worker pop the hood to inspect the engine, only for the hood to suddenly slam down in his hand. Ooh. And his supervisor has to like haul him off because his hand's so damaged. Another worker is going and is inspecting the interior. And I guess because it was the 50s, he's smoking a cigar. And just like openly, I'm like, there's got to be like different fumes and stuff in there.
Also just like a cigar, just not a work thing.
Right. Yeah, it's not even like, oh, I'm sneaking a cigarette.
Cigarette.
It's like a
thing.
Big
like,
old
everybody
stinky,
smoked everywhere in like 1958, but like to smoke a cigar just feels like
it's a power move.
Yeah, it really
it's a power
is.
Move in the workplace. So he gets in to inspect the radio and has the audacity to ash inside the car onto the plastic sheeting on the upholstery. Bring, bring. It's quitting time, Allison. And it's only then that the foreman is like, where's that one employee I have that's always smoking a cigar? I haven't seen him for a while. Ooh. He goes to the cherry red Plymouth Fury. He opens the driver's side door, and the guy's corpse just flops out, eyes wide. Doesn't even – I don't even know how he died.
I was going to ask.
We were getting no information.
Asphyxiation or something.
Cut to September 1978 in Rockbridge, California. So Christine is 21 and could ostensibly buy beer, enroll in the army, and vote for president.
Good for her.
The president, of course, would be a car in that situation.
I mean, fine.
And we see high school football player Dennis. He's driving like this gorgeous blue 70s muscle car. And he's speaking of his much nerdier friend, Arnie. And Arnie's like your typical nerd. He's got like big, thick glasses. He's, of course, gorgeous. He's still like a
movie
star.
Right, it's just they put glasses on him. And like tucks his shirt in.
Yeah, I mean, he's still like the best Anna Harry you've ever seen. Yes. And so he has like, he comes out in his khakis. And Arnie's mom, Regina, and his father, Michael, fucking hate this kid. They're so mean to Arnie. And they're like, and they come out, and Dennis pulls in the driveway. And she's yelling about Dennis's loud music. It's like, she's like, that's noise pollution. You might as well be dumping toxic waste on their lawn. And you're like, oh, Arnie, I'm sorry, your life sucks. And he runs out to get in Dennis' car, and he's carrying the garbage to the curb, and the garbage bag rips open, and all the garbage falls out. It's like, oh, my God, this guy can't catch a break. Ugh. And you know what's not going to help, Allison? A car that kills people.
No, that is not going to help.
I'll tell you, that's the last thing that he
anything.
Needs.
Anything.
So Arnie, his mom's like, oh, you always do this. Just get in the car, you know. And Arnie gets in, they head to school, and Arnie tells Dennis of, like, a story of, like, almost besting his mom in Scrabble, but he played the word fellatio, and she refused to accept obscenity on the board, and so she won by 7 points. And I'm like, that's not fair. No. That is not an obscene word. No. He was absolutely in the right.
A valid
learning about his parents. Because this is a 70s movie, Dennis is like, okay, great, I don't really care about that. It's senior year, Arnie. It's time for us to get you laid. Mm. And they go down the list of, you know, your average sluts and hags. Yeah. We've got Gail Justin, a.k.a. Justin Case, who has a mustache. And, you know, we've got Sally Hayes, who they refer to as a walking sperm bank.
Okay.
And Arnie's like, ugh, maybe I'll just beat off. Yeah, maybe you'll just get killed by a fucking car.
Yeah, bro.
As soon as I hear them talking about these sluts,
it's
I'm like,
good, I hope Christine just ruins you.
Yeah, a car's going to be coming for you. At school, another football player is teasing Dennis about his knee injury, but Dennis is like, I just got cleared to play. I've been off for a couple weeks, and I'm going to be back at the big game this weekend.
Oh, boy.
And there's also a girl who's kind of like just a running joke, who's a gorgeous blonde, who's constantly hitting on Dennis and interested in him, and he has no interest in her whatsoever. And it's played by Kelly Preston, the late actress who is married to John Travolta.
She died.
And, yeah.
Right.
I believe she passed away. Yes. I don't want to tell tales out of school.
No, you're right.
But I believe she passed away in 2020. Yeah. I mean, it was an intense year. Yes. You know, yes. I mean. But yes, R.I.P. Kelly Preston, great in this movie.
I mean, total very bait, funny, too.
Stunning. And, you know, her character is like, hi, Dennis. And I wrote, back when men were men and women said, tee hee, oh, you. It's like, that's all she says. It's like, oh, Dennis. It's like, okay, like a cartoon character. But she does say ta-ta for now. And there's a guy who's friends with Arnie and Dennis, who's a creep. His name is Bemis. And you can just tell he sucks from a distance. Yeah, and he sort of like oozes over. And he's like, have you guys seen the new girl? She looks smart, but she has the body of a slut.
Okay.
I was like, I would start Uber with just Christine.
Yes.
I would run this guy over again.
Kill all of these men.
And he's like, there she comes now. Allison, they turn to see the new girl. Her name is Lee. She's wearing a sweater, knee-length khaki shorts, calf-length white socks, and penny loafers. She's very modest and covered up. She's very tall. She's gorgeous. But I'm like, what about this girl is like, she's got a body like a slut. It's like, she looks like a totally normal girl who is dressed very conservatively, actually, compared to everybody else. And it's like, Beavis, you are just like, you're wishing. You know what I mean? And, of course, she walks by and she kind of smiles at all of them. And Chuck's like, you should ask her out. You know what I mean? Like, maybe she doesn't know that you're disgusting yet. There's nothing for you to lose but your virginity. That guy's going to die a virgin.
I hope
so. Don't worry about it.
Good.
Unfortunately, at lunch, Dennis is looking for Arnie. And a guy's walking by. He's like, hey, have you seen Arnie? I know you have shop with him. Unfortunately, the bully, Buddy Ripperton, has stolen Arnie's lunch. And Dennis is like, oh, I got to always handle Arnie's stuff. And he goes down to shop class to demand it back. And we also know that Arnie has yogurt. His mother's like, keep your lunch cool because there's yogurt in there. And it's like, what are you talking about? How would he do that? This is the 70s.
Yeah, it's like, not what, like you have what like technology? A little like zip around cooler like lunch pack where you have all of your like fresh fruits and vegetables and things that can spoil. It's like maybe a paper bag.
Inappropriate expectations for your child. Inappropriate expectations for how cold his yogurt is going to stay. Dennis comes down, and Dennis is, like, kind of a big man on campus. Mm-hmm. So he's, like, going in here, like, fuck you, give him back his lunch. Unfortunately, it's Buddy, and then Buddy has, like, three henchmen. Cool. And they're all calling Arnie, like, Arnie, instead of his last name's Cunningham. And Dennis is, like, leave him alone, give him back his fucking lunch. Buddy takes out a switchblade, and is like, ooh, okay. I'm going to fucking stab his lunch. And he stabs his lunch, and yogurt oozes everywhere. It's humiliating.
That is humiliating.
And he says he challenges Arnie to a fight. And Dennis is like, you're challenging a guy to a fight with a knife knowing he has no knife? That's chicken shit. You're chicken shit. I'll fucking fight you right now. Unfortunately, Buddy's got these other goons. So they grab Dennis and Arnie runs to help. But Allison, he slips on the yogurt because he's a dweeb.
Dweebs always be slipping on yogurt.
And his glasses fly off. And then Buddy crushes his glasses. And it's like, oh, brother, I wish I had a car that would kill these guys already.
Also, like, stepping on glasses is so much meaner than just like, haha, nerd. It's like, they're so expensive.
Right, especially back then. It's like, I'm going to just wear these with tape on them. Like, I'm never going to be able to get a new one. It's going to take a year or whatever. And so Buddy approaches Arnie with his switchblade out. And they're in the shop class, but I'm just like, where has the teacher gone that he's gone this long, you know? And Dennis throws Buddy across the room only for one of Buddy's henchmen. His name is Moochie. to grab Dennis. Oh, he grabs Dennis around the neck, and then he grabs his balls and chokes him out. I'm like, this is insane.
Fuck?
Like, what is
this
happening?
High school is out of control. Every single person in this high school, every single man in this high school is out of control.
Fortunately, the shop teacher, Mr. Casey, comes in and he busts up the fight, and Buddy's like, they started it. And Mr. Casey, like, grabs him by the shirt, and he's like, I know they didn't start it. I know it was you. And Dennis tells Mr. Casey, Buddy's got a fucking knife, and he pulled it on Arnie. And Buddy's like, no, I didn't, you liar. So Mr. Casey's like, okay, well, turn out your pockets if you don't have a knife. Buddy is such a fucking dumb shit. He's like, you can't make me. I'll put you through the wall, man. He's threatening a teacher. And Mr. Casey's like, Moochie and these other goons, you go to the office. And he tells Buddy, if you don't empty your pockets, I will call the fucking cops. I don't care.
Yeah.
And Buddy, of course, has the knife. He throws it on the ground. Mr. Casey sends him to the office. And Buddy is like, basically blames Arnie and Dennis and like threatens them. We find out at the end of the day, Buddy got expelled, as he should have been.
Yes.
And that Moochie and Richie and Don, the henchmen, they all got like probation. So I guess like suspension or whatever, right. But they weren't kicked out. And I was like, yeah, if you threaten someone with a switchblade and then threaten to put a teacher through the wall, you're going to get expelled. Also, all these guys are like 35, so I can't imagine this is the first time.
Yeah, no.
And on the way home, Dennis is driving, and he's like, all in all, that wasn't a bad first day of senior year, which I thought was fun. So they're driving home, and out the window, Arnie, like, gasps and put his face to the window, and he's like, stop the car, and he's in front of an overgrown yard with a car for sale. It's in horrible shape, but we know it's Christine.
Christine.
And Dennis is like, it's rusted as hell. It's got, they eventually get out and look at it. It's got 93,000 miles on it. He's like, what are you doing? Just get a regular car or like a beater car. Like this, it's not even going to run.
Right.
And we meet the owner, George LeBay. And he's wearing, I'm assuming it must be a medical brace, but it looks like a Paul, like a Jean-Paul Gaultier, like it's like straps.
Yeah.
Like a vest.
Like a harness.
Yeah, it's almost like it went, it was like clearly, it looks like it's for scoliosis, but then went back all around and it's like fashion. And I was like, yes, okay. And George is, of course, like, the car's name is Christine. Everyone's like, yes, of course it is. Like, no one blanches. Everyone's like, what do you mean?
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
Obviously, you name your weird old rusted out 100,000-mile car. Why wouldn't you? You man and you like, chic Gaultier harness.
The chic maniac. And he says, you know, his asshole brother, Roland, bought it in September 1957 right off the line. He says, I remember that new car smell. It's just about the best smell in the world, except for pussy. And everybody laughs.
Oh, okay.
And he tells them, Roland died 6 weeks ago, but he loved this car. I'll sell it to you for $250. And I was like, is that good? But no, Dennis immediately like, this car's a piece of shit.
$250? I have no...
$250.
Like,
no
you
idea.
Could, that today could be $40,000. It could be
$90. Really no
I don't know how this money works, but...
Let's see. Hang on. Money converter. Okay, so it says it's... let's see. It would be $5,500 about. So like you could buy a like a cheaper car.
You could
car.
Buy a car that's running for $55, like a cheap like an yes. like an old Kia for $5,500 or whatever.
Yeah. And that's what Dennis is saying. You haven't driven this car. But no, but Arnie's in love. And this is another thing that he has with his parents is like his parents want him to like be a nerd and go to college, but Arnie really loves shop class and he's very good at cars. Like he's very interested in like being a mechanic or doing mechanical things. So it's sort of like that's another tension in his parents' relationship with him is like they want him to succeed, and he's like, I want to do something that I'm actually interested in. The other weird thing that they do in this movie, Allison, is they use the word shitter as if it's a common piece of slang,
boy.
But not to refer to the bathroom as like an insult. You know, like Dennis tries to intervene, like, okay, don't buy the car, but George tells him, you don't know half as much as you think you do, shitter. Like, using it as an insult, as a person?
Like, to call someone a shitter.
Which, again, is very Stephen King. Like, I feel like he does this a lot, where he's like, I'm just deciding people talk like this.
Right.
But it's not just, like, if George said that, sure, he's a crazy
like,
old
sure.
man.
Yeah, he's out there just, like, spending all of his money on fashion.
Arnie uses it. Like, people use it as, I'm like, was this, I don't even know. I don't
and
know
like,
that
what were the 70s? I don't know. Yeah. I mean... You could convince me.
So when he gets at home, Regina and Michael flip out for no reason. It's like, you're acting like you're keeping a serial killer in the driveway. And they're like, you cannot keep that car here if you want to stay here. And Arnie stands up for himself finally. He's like, you wanted me to take college courses? I'm taking them. You wanted me to do chess club? I'm doing chess club. I have done everything you've asked me for 17 years, and I get one thing that I bought with my own money. But Regina's like, no son of mine is going to keep a car here. And I'm like, I don't understand the stakes
what?
At all. Like, well, who cares?
What on earth could matter?
Also, like, if anything, it's like, oh, it's a fun project that he'll work on and I know where he is. Like, is it seems like a very like, wholesome. Off
doing yeah. any of the other horrific things that, like, high school-aged men
it's so
are
weird.
Off doing. Like, yeah. you know, sexually assaulting people or stealing things yeah, exactly. or, like, yeah. fighting each other. Like,
right,
just,
bringing a switchblade to shop class.
Right.
But luckily, he takes his car to Darnell's do-it-yourself garage. Well, basically, it's like you pay to store it there and work on it. And then that's it. And then Darnell, the owner, his name is Mr. Will Darnell. And again, an insane character who's like, look, what the fuck is this dumb car? You know, and he says, I knew a guy who had a car like that. He killed himself in it. Like, everything he said is like a very funny line. But also, I was like, well, this guy's a maniac.
Yeah.
He says, shut your pie hole. And he says
to Arnie, one of those?
Yeah, he's like, I know a creep when I see it, and I'm looking at one right now. Like, he's just dressing him down. It's like, he's a teenage boy. Like, he just wants to work on his car. So he leaves it there, and Dennis drives Arnie home. He's like, just be honest with me. Like, why are you so into this car? And Arnie says, I don't know. It almost feels like the first time I found something that, like, I feel is sort of like me. And he says, maybe it's the first time I've ever found something uglier than me. And then Dennis says, like, this, he has his laugh in this very sweet, compassionate way. Dennis is like, Arnie, you're not ugly. And I'm like, are they going to kiss? Like, it's like what? This very, like, kind of romantic moment. And I was like, ugh, I want the reboot where they get to kiss. But, like, yeah. Dennis is, like, so kind with his feelings. And also, Arnie's not ugly. He's just, like, his parents have raised him to hate himself. So he doesn't understand that, like, he's cute. He uses glasses, you know. Right. Also, his glasses, they are taped together. So he has the same glasses that have to
That's
be taped
not helping.
Together.
Yeah. That's not helping.
But, like, Dennis is, like, so nice to him. And I was like, oh, but, But unfortunately, then Dennis ruins and says, you're not ugly. Queer, maybe, but not ugly. And they laugh. Can you imagine being gay? Imagine being happy and exploring this, whatever this is, between us. We're not going to
a silly fantasy.
That. We're not going to do that. Instead, we're going to be murdered by a car. Anyways, they get to Arnie's, and Regina and Michael are waiting to just scream at their son for, again, no reason. And Dennis drives away, shaking his head. We cut to October 9th, and it's interesting. They give, like, different holidays and, like, different time passages for no reason. Like, it does not matter the time at all.
Right. It could all happen in a week. It could happen in 3 years.
It's like, very
it's
weird.
Just what's happening.
Yeah. But I appreciate that. It was maybe in the book, so they, like, really committed. So.
Yes.
October 7th, Mr. Darnell is, like, showing off all the work that Arnie's done. Like, Christine still looks kind of bad, but it looks a lot better. It's in running condition.
Sure.
And the person he's talking to is a fellow old coot, and his character name is Pepper Boyd. I'm like, sure, Pepper Boyd.
I mean, yeah, Pepper Boyd. Get him in the mix.
And Pepper's like, well, it looks like he's doing good work. And Darnell says, you can't polish a turd, and I know a turd when I see one. It's like, all right, okay.
Calm down. You don't have to drive it.
But,
like,
but interestingly, the car's not the only thing that's changed, because Arnie's not wearing his glasses anymore. And when Darnell tries to, like, give him shit about being like, I know I said you could use stuff from the scrapyard, but, like, you're using a lot. Artie's like, well, what do you care? You're not using it. And he kind of, like, stands up to him. And Darnell's...
All right, so he's gaining this confidence.
Yeah. He's doing something he's good at and he likes. And Darnell snarls. He's like, don't think you got the golden key to the crapper, kid. It's like, has anyone ever said that?
What on earth is he talking about?
And also, Allison, I'm like, at this point in the movie, I need one person to be killed by a car. Like, we're kind of, like, we're, like, a half an hour in, and I'm like... Where's the car killing?
We saw the first two. Like, what else? Like,
yeah. But I guess he had to spruce it back up and get it in working order so that she could kill people. But Darnell says, like, I'll make you a deal. You help around here. How about around here? You run errands, like, and then you could use anything I have, and I might even throw some money, you know, your way. Right. And he says, I know you don't exactly have money falling out of your ass. I'm like, all right, dude.
Everyone calm down.
But as soon as Darnell leaves, like, Arnie has, like, a big smile on his face, and he gets in the driver's seat. Every time the radio comes on, it's 50s music, which no one comments on until later. But, like, it seems like Christine can only play music of the era in which she was born.
Of course.
And Arnie kind of raises his head on the steering wheel. And I was like, I would like a car to kill someone at this point in the movie, but I would take a car falling in love.
Oh, I would like that.
Wouldn't that be nice? So back at school, Bemis and Chuck are with Dennis in the library, and he's like, they're like, go ask out that new girl, Lee. She told Bemis I'd rather fucking puke, but we think that you'll go out. And he gets up to go talk to her, and he has to walk past Roseanne, and Roseanne thinks that he's coming to her, and she's, like, so excited, and then he just blows past her.
Aww.
And he goes and he sits with Lee, and he's like, oh, you know, like, do you like dancing? And she says, yeah, and He's like, well, do you want to go dancing after the big game on Friday? And she's like, oh, sorry, I already have a date. And Bemis and Chuck are like, fucking strike out, you know.
Okay.
The next day, Dennis picks up Arnie, and he and his parents are in another fight, like yelling at him. And Arnie's like, sorry, I can't go with you. They're going to go to a movie. Like, I have to run an errand for Darnell. I can't do it. But Regina's, like, in a state. And I guess, like, for the past couple weeks since he got the car, like, Arnie's been kind of blowing off Dennis and also blowing off his family, like, avoiding them and spending all the time with that damn car. And Regina's so upset about it. And Arnie storms off. Like, I have to do it. It's my job. He's paying me. And when he leaves, Regina tells Dennis, when we signed the registration, because eventually they agreed they'd have to. He's, like, a minor. So they signed the registration. The previous owner died in the car of carbon monoxide poisoning. And I'm like, well, in a way, the car killed someone then. Okay.
Yeah, okay. I'll take it.
And Dennis is like, yikes, does Arnie know that? And Regina says, Arnie doesn't know anything anymore. What? Talk to your children, people.
Yes. If we've learned anything from any of the movies we've done, it's be involved in your children's lives enough that you can, like, assess what's going on with them.
So Dennis goes to visit George, the previous owner, again. He's wearing, like, the outfit from, like, Fifth Element. You know what I mean? He's got, like, a bob. He's just, like, pure fashion. He's got, like, those shoes that Lady Gaga used to wear.
With the, like, lean, they're, like, forward platforms.
And, toes. He's like, you know, I just want, I found out that somebody died in the car. And, you know, Arnie wouldn't have bought that car if you were honest about your brother dying in that car. And George says, oh, then you don't know your friend. Because the look in his eye was just like my brother had. Oh, also, it wasn't just one death. Roland, he intentionally ran a tube from the exhaust pipe. But before he did that,
he had a 5-year-old daughter choked to death in him. He wouldn't get rid of her. He just rode around with the radio blaring, not a care in the world except for Christine.
And Roland's wife, Rita, also died by suicide in the same way he did in the car.
Together or separately?
Separately. So I think we're to think the daughter choked to death, the wife died by suicide immediately after that.
Yes.
And then recently, Roland also killed himself. Horrible story.
Deeply tragic.
And George says, I sold the car after they died, but it came back 3 weeks later. And Dennis says, what do you mean it came back?
Came back.
That night, Dennis sneaks into Darnell's body shop to take a look at Christine. And he notices that, like, it has, like, 5,000 fewer miles on it. Like, the miles are going down. I don't know if it's, like, healing or becoming stronger. That's what I took from him. And just when he's about to climb inside, Christine's radio starts playing, and he runs away. And the radio shuts off as soon as he leaves. But, Allison, we can't worry about that because it's time for the big game.
The big game.
Dennis is finally back after being injured, and everyone's, like, you know, really excited. We're going to not cream him. I don't know. And then as Dennis is watching, Arnie shows up with Christine looking cherry. Everyone's like, oh my God, look at that car. It looks amazing. And of course, Buddy's there and his henchmen. And they're wild with jealousy. Like, how? We're in shop class two. Our cars look like shit. Also, the actor who plays Moochie is one of the worst actors I've ever seen. And I say that as someone who watches a ton of bad movies all the time.
Yeah.
He's like, you better not mess with me. I was like, how? There weren't other people who
get anyone else. Yeah. Just get anyone who's just like on the lot for this. Like just anyone.
Maybe it's like a producer's nephew or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's a nepotism thing.
Allison, not only is Arnie rocking a sick ass ride, when he opens the passenger side door, his date is Lee, the new girl. And everyone's like, the hot
with the slut bod?
With the slut bod. And everyone's like, wait a minute. The new girl Lee, who is we all agree is hot, is going out with Arnie, that nerd, to the point where Dennis is so distracted, he's going long or whatever, I don't know football, and as he sees Arnie and Lee kiss, he fucks up, he gets sacked, I suppose that's what you say.
Okay.
And in his moment of distraction, gets tackled and is so badly injured that he has to be taken out on a stretcher. And we are left with a lingering shot of Christine. Did the car do the football thing? How would that work? I don't know. I'm like, is that? Like,
did the car do the football thing? I was like, or is Dennis a shitter?
Right. Yes, that's the question when it comes down to. So Arnie comes by the hospital. He has a book of 5,000 dirty limericks. It's like, like he's going to read them. That's cute.
That's fun.
And, you know, Arnie's like, well, you know, the team hasn't won since you got injured. So I think we're to think that Dennis is in the hospital for at least a month or more, based on the period of time that lapses. And Dennis tells him, you know, the doctor said, I'm not going to be able to play anymore. And that if I had been hit like at a centimeter different, I would be paralyzed. Anyways, are you dating that new girl, Lee? He's like, I've been horrifically injured to the point that I had to be hospitalized for weeks on end. Anyways, you hit that.
But more importantly.
Yeah.
You hitting that?
And Artie's like, look, what can I say? She respects my mind. And I respect her mind and she lusts after my body. And Dennis is obviously so jealous. And like, it's like, well, okay, like I love my friend, but he is a nerd. So like, why would she date him?
Yeah. Also, you know? Like such a 180 from like the Arnie that we met at the beginning of the film.
Yeah. And so that night, Arnie takes Lee to the drive-in movies. It's pouring rain. But, of course, they're just there to make out, you know. And they're making out. But when Arnie puts his hand in her shirt, Lee freaks out and runs to, like, in the driving rain to, like, the concession stand where the restrooms are. And he runs after her. And he's like, what's going on? And she's like, I do not want to hook up in that car. Because I feel often like you like that car more than me. Like, when you talk about this car, one, it has a woman's name. And then, two, you seem really fixated on it in a way that I feel very uncomfortable with.
And yes, respect that.
Arnie's like, you're insane, but also come back. We could talk about this. We don't have to be in the pouring rain. They get back in the car, and Arnie's like, wow, I thought girls were jealous of other girls, not cars. And Lee says, this car is a girl. And he's like, okay, but like, I don't think of her. And then she slaps the dashboard, and Arnie reacts as if she has slapped a girl. And he's, of course, in love with his car.
And obviously.
I will say again, I was like, well, a car hasn't killed anyone in a while, but it is causing a breakup, which is not great. And I'll take it. So I was just like, no, it's not what
there's
I wanted.
There's some evil to that.
Yeah.
It did the car did the football thing. The car is making the breakup. I mean.
And Arnie says, he's like, well,
I guess. It's not Satan, but it's not great.
Exactly. Yeah. It's more of like a little gremlin or something.
Yeah.
Arnie's like, wow, it seems like nobody likes my car these days. And then Lee angrily unwraps, like they have like, I'm assuming burgers or sandwiches in like tinfoil. You don't even see what she's eating. Like she unwraps it like angrily.
Yeah.
Just then, like the windshield wiper gets jammed because it's again driving rain. Arnie leaps out to fix it. And as soon as he shuts the doors lock. Christine's radio starts playing some Richie Valens and Lee starts choking. Allison, when Arnie tries to get into the car to help her, he cannot open the door. Allison, finally, what would you do?
What would you do?
I would have to, like, one, I would bash in a window. I know he's in love with the car and is never going to destroy it in a way. But, like, I also wouldn't want to be at the scene of this definitely going to be a death, I will assume. And it's like, she was in there choking. What were you doing outside? Like, I guess, like, yeah, it's locked, but what happened to you? Like, I don't... It could put you in a really bad legal position. So I would do whatever I would have to do to make sure... that this woman didn't choke to death in the car that I'm obsessed with.
Right, and that's tough, baby. That's a tough situation. I hope you never find yourself in, you know. It'd be really tough to deal with. Fortunately, a bystander is able to get one of the doors open, pulls Lee out of the car, and starts the Heimlich maneuver. But then Arnie runs over and is like, get your hands off her. And I'm like, so he thinks mid-choke, this guy unrelatedly...
is going to make a pass at his girl?
Grabbed her out of the car in the driving rain and just started groping her? It makes no sense. So he drives her home. Lee survives. She's coughs. The Heimlich maneuver works. He drives her home. She's extremely upset. And she starts to like bolt into her house. And she says, I'm never going in that car again. When I choked, something happened. The radio came on and I could feel that something was making me choke. And Artie's like, let's not blame my sweet Christine with anything crazy, you know. And she's like, no, don't you notice, like, whenever we make out, the car stalls out. It's almost like it's jealous or something. And Artie's like, you're being crazy. I think you're just sexually frustrated. But Lee's like, I don't know if I'm going to talk to you anywhere. And it goes inside. Yeah. Artie gets back in the Christine, but she won't start until he, like, coaxes it and, like, sweet talks her. And it starts playing, like, another 50s bop, you know. And it's sort of like, this guy's going to have sex with this car. He doesn't, but that's what it feels like. It is like romantic. He's like wooing the car. Allison, that night, Arnie drops off Christine, and Buddy and his goons sneak into the garage. Buddy picks up a fucking sledgehammer, and they all pick up tools, and they just bash this car. They break the windshield. Moochie's stabbing the seats with a knife. It's playing that like sweet 50s pop music again. And
this isn't going to be good for them.
And then Moochie bashes in the radio with a hammer. Next day, Lee's like, I'll meet up with you. And he's like, great, meet me at the garage. I left my wallet in Christine, but we'll do a date. We won't take the car. I just need to get my wallet out and we'll do whatever you want. And luckily, okay. Clearly, Lee is down bad. I was like, she must be dickmatized. Because she's like, yeah, I guess so. It's like, that car made you choke and you know it on some level.
You almost died and it was the car's fault.
Yeah.
And he's siding with the car.
And as they walk in, Arnie's like, I don't know if this is too soon, but like, would you want to maybe apply to the same colleges? And then if we get into one, it's kind of like a sign we should stay together. And then he turns and he practically like pushes her face aside because he sees that Christine is all fucked up. He's like, good Lord, but the love of my life. And she's a wreck. You know, like, again, all the chassis all fucked up. All the windows chassis are broken. So it looks like it was hit by like a train. It wasn't even like they scratched it or like broke the windows. It is busted up. And Arnie is, Lee's like, who the fuck would have done this? Like, this is insane. And Arnie's just like in a state of like grief. He can't even talk. And she puts her hand on his shoulder and he wheels on her and he shoves her and he screams, don't touch me, sinner. Oh, this is what you wanted, wasn't it? You wanted to get me away from her. And it's like,
bro.
Yeah.
No.
Even at dinner that night, even his parents who suck, they know that it happened. And they're like, we're so sorry. We know how much time and effort you really love that car.
Right. Whatever the weird, like, emotional relationship you have is, like, you spent a lot of time on that. It got destroyed. That's always devastating. And like, so I'm glad that they can, like,
And everyone in town knows. Like, it is something that, like, if that happened, like, everyone at school would know. Like, it was, like, very weird. And Arnie said, this is your fault. If I could have parked it in the driveway here, this wouldn't have happened. I don't think that's true. It might have been less damaged, but Buddy would have come and fucked that car up. And it probably would have happened over and over again because it's like out in the open.
You're right. Yeah, it would keep getting fucked up.
And Arnie's getting more and more angry, you know. And Regina's like, can we just have a rational conversation about this? And Arnie goes, one of them took a shit on the dashboard. How is that for rational? And I was like, this evil car is driving this family apart. But Michael and Regina are trying to like make amends and like, be nice to him. So he said, okay, but your mother and I discussed it. And in the meantime, we'd like you to buy you a new car. We don't want, you know, we've seen all this effort and everything you put into it. So we want to buy you a car so you weren't carless. And Artie's like, oh, that's what everyone wants, isn't it? Fuck you. And they get into a yelling match. And then it turns into a shoving match. And then suddenly Arnie is choking his father before letting him go. And telling him, I'm going to hit the sack. So obviously Arnie is experiencing a personality change.
Yes.
But there's only one constant, and of course it's Christine. And so the long, hard work on repairing her begins. And at the garage, he strokes her roof and he tells her, we'll show those shitters what we could do. I'm like,
All right. I guess you could say that.
Allison, Arnie turns around. And when he turns back, Christine's engine has started to repair itself. And he sort of starts to realize maybe this thing is alive in some sense. He walks across the garage and he tells her, okay, show me. Allison, the glass repairs itself. The chassis starts to unbend. And essentially she's healing herself in front of him. Okay. And Arnie is reacting like it's an erotic experience. Like he's like just, he looks, he's so ecstatically happy. And by the time she's done, Christine looks brand new, better than new. Which begs the question, like, then why did she look so bad when we first saw her at Jersey's
Lawn? I was just going to ask, like, why was she just, is it because, like, she had no owner and therefore, like.
Maybe that would, she needs someone to, like, animate
her. She needs somebody to, like, to be focused on.
That makes sense.
Because if, like, her owner was dead or boyfriend or whatever.
Both.
But if the person who, like, possessed her.
Yeah.
Is dead and she's just sitting in a driveway. Of, like, someone else's house. Like, there's kind of nothing for her, I guess.
Well, now that she's repaired, Christine is out for blood. And the first one to get it is Moochie. He's walking home, which is under a bridge. Unclear. But, of course, he hears 50s music. And she just fucking chases him through this fucking warehouse district. And it's very deliberately shot. Like, you don't know if Arnie's actually in the driver's seat. But Moochie is fucking running. And, unfortunately, Christine ends up cornering him in a loading dock. And it's very narrow. Like, it's just, like, a very small space. So he cannot even run side to side. And it is so narrow, in fact, that Christine cannot fit into it. So when the car drives forward, the sides of the car peel away. But the car is able to jam itself into the space, crushing Moochie in half.
Finally.
Yeah. In the hospital, Dennis is still in the hospital. He wakes up to find Artie pouring him a beer and watching football. And Artie has this big smile. He's like, did you hear what happened to Moochie? It almost makes you feel bad for the bastard. And Dennis knows that Christine was all fucked up. And he's like, you know, how's your car doing? I bet it was Buddy Rapperton that did it. That guy fucking sucks. And he's like, what if you do it? Like, what if you repair it and then Buddy just breaks in and do it again? Like, you should tell the cops. And Artie says, he won't be doing that. But he doesn't say anything more, and he tells Dennis, happy Thanksgiving. Dennis has been in the hospital since
October 9th.
So I'm like, dear God.
What happened to him?
I guess we're to think his spine, well, as a master of spinal injuries, I think he may have had a spinal injury. And
I guess.
But again, they don't really give us a lot of details.
Yeah. If it's just a bunch of broken bones, at some point they'd be like, go home and deal with us on your own. It costs like thousands of dollars a day to be here.
Yeah, it's very confusing. But at this point, not only is Artie sort of having a personality change, he's getting hotter. He doesn't wear his glasses. He doesn't need to wear his glasses. He's wearing like a leather vest and black jeans. He's sort of like a 50s greaser, and it really works for him. But it is a big departure for him.
From what we've seen, yes.
At one point in the middle of the day, he goes to his car. He's interrupted by Detective Rudolph Junkins, played by Harry Dean Stanton, who I love. And Junkins like, you know, I'm going to have some questions about your car because I heard it was totaled, and here it actually looks better than mint. That's pretty impressive. And I've already interviewed your girlfriend, and she saw it too, and she said it was total. And Arnie's like, well, okay, but like, who cares? Like, big deal. So what are you trying to say? And Detective Junkins is like, well, I heard that somebody really busted up and that someone took a dump on your dashboard. That seems like something that might make you mad. Mad enough to say, squish someone in half of the car. And he's like, oh, we're talking about Moochie. And the detective says, they had to scrape his legs up with a shovel.
Oh, God.
And Artie says, well, isn't that what you do with shit? Scrape it up with a shovel?
This shit obsession is odd.
And Junkins is like, okay, great. This is a great convo. I'm sure I'm going to see you again soon.
Yeah, yeah. This is the beginning of a longer discussion, probably.
And Arnie calls Lee to like yell at her for talking to the cops, but then also saying, I think we deserve one more chance. Can you give me a fucking yes or no if you are in this? And she's like, I don't know. It seems like a lot's going on. And he screams, fuck you, bitch. Needless to say, they are now broken up. But it was
this is
a million red flags. Oh. Now it is December 16th. It's on the screen. Why? I don't know. Buddy and his goon, Richie, are buying beers, and they're going driving and drinking. We love to see it. And they're driving, and somebody starts tailgating them. And they veer into a gas station, which has, like, a mechanic shop where his other goon, Don, works. Because I guess they all like cars. And Buddy leaps out. He's got, like, a hammer. He's like, some fucking shithead's following us. I wish they would turn in here, and I'll fucking get them. Allison, of course, Christine turns in the parking lot and just fucking T-bones Buddy's car, totaling it. And he's like, you fucking prick Cunningham, come face me. And again, waving this weapon around. Allison, this is my favorite part of the movie. Christine backs up, T-bones Buddy's car again so hard it smashes through the mechanic's garage door into the mechanic shop. Gas sprays out of Buddy's car and ignites, causing the mechanic shop to explode into flames, consuming the two girls, the two goons, while Buddy is standing there, jaw open, like 20 feet away. He drops his weapon and runs off into the night. Christine, 3, humanity, 0. Well, Christine, like, 6 or more, humanity, 0.
Yeah, over time, yes.
So I was like, wow, I guess Buddy got away. Allison, Christine backs up out of the conflagration and drives after him on fire. So the car is on fire. And that's where John Carpenter really shines.
That's really a special kind of scene.
And as it drives after him, the gas station and mechanics shop entirely explode. Like, it's a huge explosion. And we get this amazing shot of Buddy just running down, like, the middle of, like, a lonely country road with Christine catching up to him, still on fire. And she hits him and mows him down and leaves his body burning in the middle of the street as it drives away, still in flames.
Christine. What
Christine.
Literal bitch on wheels.
Truly. Back in the garage, Mr. Dunnell's putting his coat to leave. He's like the last person there. Just as the garage door opens and Christine, which is toasted, like it's like covered in ash, like looks horrible, rolls in. And he knows, wait a minute, Arnie is out doing errands for me, driving my car. So who the fuck is driving Christine? I wrote, so who is Christine, you know?
Who is Christine?
And so he gets his shotgun, and he goes over to the car, and he like opens the driver's side, expecting someone to have stolen the car. There's no one there. He gets in to see if the car will even start again. The radio starts playing. The doors lock. And the front seat moves forward and crushes Mr. Darnell against the steering wheel.
Oof.
The next day, Arnie arrives to the garage just as Detective Junkins and the other police officers are shutting everything down because it's a crime scene. And he's like, I'm going to need evidence and an alibi of where you were last night. And the thing is, Arnie has it. He's like, I have a receipt from these errands. I was driving this other car. I went home. You could talk to my parents after that. Why did you know that? Said, we found your boss in your car dead with a shotgun. When Arnie runs over to Christine, she is, again, perfectly brand new. Like, she has repaired herself from being on fire. And Jungs is like, oh,
if only
also,
all women could just fix our appearances when they weren't perfect.
And Jungs is like, oh, also, Buddy, Richie, and Don also died in horrible ways. That's the same night.
FYI. And a lot happened.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't know what's going on. I was not there. I was doing errands, then I went home. So whatever you need, I will give you, but I don't, you know. Meanwhile, Lee calls Dennis to, like, commiserate over, like, how Arnie's been, like weird and, like, he hasn't really, you know, he's just not acting like himself.
Yeah.
And Dennis tells Lee what George told her about Roland's daughter choking in the car. And Lee's like, I feel like that car was trying to kill me. Like, I was supposed to be next. It is the car. The car is evil. She's the first one to really, like, call it out.
Yeah. Well, she's, like, survived it.
Yeah. And Dennis is like, I'm going to go for New Year's. I'm going to Arnie's. We do it every year. And then she says, he's like, I'm going to get him to talk to me and we're going to, like, figure this out. And Lee's like, well, what if the car doesn't let him talk to you? And Dennis says, then we'll fucking destroy it. When Lee walks,
good luck.
When Lee's walking to her car, she hears Christine's radio and sees the car pull up in front of Dennis's house and it honks. Allison, I have to ask at this point in the movie, who will survive?
Who will survive?
Based on Christine's, like, history, I'm gonna guess that maybe that Arnie dies. As the previous owner had also died. Mm-hmm. And that maybe Lee dies, but Dennis survives.
Okay.
Maybe by destroying the car.
Great. I love it. So Dennis gets in the car, and we see that Arnie has become full villain. Like, he is, like, a huge asshole. He's kind of Elvising at a certain point. You know, he's, like, kind of like a pompadour. And Dennis is like, oh, I see you're driving the old rust bucket, which is obviously a joke because the car's gorgeous. And Arnie's like, you better be nice to my car. She's real sensitive. And Dennis is like, sorry, Christine. And, you know, Arnie's like driving erratically on the street. They're drinking beers while they're driving. And Dennis is like getting more and more like anxious. And Arnie toasts, death to the shitters of the world in 1979. And Dennis is like, how about we toast to our friendship? Or like some good things or me getting out of the hospital, you know?
Yes.
And the vibe is clearly off, you know? And Arnie's like, don't be scared. And Dennis is like, I'll be honest, I'm scared for you, dude. Like, you've completely changed seemingly because of this car, and I don't know what's going on. And, you know, Lee feels horrible, and, you know, she doesn't really understand, like, what happened. But, like, I just want to let you know she called me, and and Arnie says,
let me tell you a little something about love, Dennis. It has a voracious appetite. It kills me how much it eats. But I'll tell you something else. You feed it right, and it can be a beautiful thing, and that's what we have.
And Ness is like, wow, like, you really feel that way about Lee? And Arnie goes, no, about Christine. And then he fucking veers in oncoming traffic playing chicken. And Dennis is like, oh, no, Arnie's gone insane.
Yes.
Luckily, he takes him home, and the next day, Dennis carves into Christine's hood, Darnell's tonight. So that night, Dennis and Lee sneak into the garage, and here's their plan. They're going to hotwire a bulldozer, which they successfully do. I couldn't be me.
Oh, as any two teens might know how to do.
So the plan is Dennis is going to drive the bulldozer. And then as soon as Christine comes into the garage, Lee will hit the button closing the door, trapping her inside. And then they'll crush her with the bulldozer. It's the best idea I've heard all movie.
Something.
And they're able to jumpstart the bulldozer. And they're waiting for Christine. Unfortunately, there's a big pile of scrap. And Lee is waiting near it, not realizing until the headlights come on that Christine is hiding in the garage under a pile of garbage.
Like, the fact that she can do things like hide is very fun.
It's incredible.
Like, it's not just like, oh, once she's, like, on or Arnie's driving her, or, like, she can, like, do whatever. And the fact that she can, like, reform herself into, like, a flawless being. But, like, the fact that she's, like, strategic.
It's incredible. So they, luckily, Lee uses the one skill that humans have over cars, which is, she's able to jump. So she jumps up and grabs a hook and Christine goes under her. And in order to defend Lee, Dennis already uses the bulldozer to like block her against the wall. So, like, Christine tries to ram Lee, but she can't do it. And now we hear from inside Christine, Arnie screaming, "You shitters." So Arnie is driving. This is him driving it. And he is, he and Christine are united in their desire to kill. Christine looks like she's going to gut it for the bulldozer, but then she, like, veers to try to hit Lee. And Lee runs into the office, and Christine slams into the office, just like a little, like, glass, you know, like, enclosed. Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, Arnie forgot the number one rule of being in love with an evil car. And what is it, Allison? What is the number one rule if you're going to join forces with an evil car who you're also in love with? Always wear your seatbelt.
Oh, no.
Because Christine's fine. Arnie fucking rockets through the windshield. And he sort of lunges for Lee, but then he pulls back and he has a huge piece of jagged glass jammed in his chest.
Yeah, so bye-bye, Arnie.
Yeah. He sort of fingers her the grill of the car, and then he dies. Unfortunately, Christine's still up and about, and she plays like a romantic 50s song. Yeah. And then throws herself to reverse to still try to run down Lee. And Lee sort of like acts as bait at like against like one of the walls. And Christine is injured, so she can only go so quickly. The bulldozer sneaks up kind of behind Christine and sort of crunches the trunk. We're driving up onto the back of Christine. So she's immobile, and her headlights go turn off. So I guess we're assuming that's she dead. Of course, assuming they've bested her, Lee runs to Dennis, and they embrace on the bulldozer.
Oh, no.
She's like every serial killer. Christine turns back
on. One last gasp.
And she starts repairing herself immediately. So Dennis runs the bulldozer over and over again until her radio turns off. In the morning, we see Christine fall from the car crusher. So Christine is now a little cube. And Detective Junkin is there, and he tells Dennis and Lee, "You guys should consider yourself heroes. Like, Arnie was, he had gone insane and was killing all these people, and you stopped him, and it's very sad. But you guys are heroes." And Dennis said,
"Real hero could have saved Arnie."
And Junkin tells him, "Some things can't be helped. Some people either." And they all rear back when they hear some sweet, sweet Richie Valens. But luckily, it's just somebody in the scrapyard walking with, like, a portable radio who kind of, like, gives them a weird look. And Lee says, "God, I hate rock and roll." And then in the Christine cube, we just see a little piece of metal moving, just slightly. And then Band of the Bone starts up. And that's the end.
Oh, what a great end.
And I would just say, I really enjoy this movie. And I love a movie that says, fuck you. I don't have to explain how or why this car is evil or can kill people.
It just is.
You want to know that? Well, you could go ahead and eat shit.
Yeah.
And I was like,
shitter.
Kudos. So what are some fatal mistakes that people may have made in the movie, Christine?
Fatal mistakes.
I mean, getting involved with that car at all wasn't financially the smart thing. Like, what he should have done is, like, taken that same amount of money, gotten something that was immediately drivable. But I also understand, like, he likes cars. He likes fixing things up. So that's – but I think, like – once Dennis knew that the owner had how the owner and everybody had died in it, he should have told Arnie.
Yes.
I think that would have been helpful.
Right, because it's like, it doesn't imply like, oh, he had to get rid of it or like Christine was ruining his life.
Right, but just to be like, hey, like this is the history of this car and that just feels like information you need.
I mean, other than that, I do feel like everyone did a good job because—
What else could you do? It's like an evil car that can reform itself and like has control of itself
and make
control of your friend.
Yeah, exactly. Make your friend fall in love with them. So I don't know. I feel like people, Lee did—
Everybody did their best.
Lee was very upfront. Like, I'm pretty sure he's in love with the car and the car's evil and it made me choke. Dennis was like, you know what? You're right. And we have to figure out a plan.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the bullies were terrible, but, like, you know, that's they were just there to be murdered. And,
We need some villains to be like, well, good rounds.
So I think for the most part, people really did do their best. And I hats off to everyone in Christine.
Yeah.
And then finally, where would you put Christine on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale.
I feel like I would go ahead and give this a 2.5.
Okay, great.
Mostly, I mean, like, it's more fun than it is, like, scary sounding. I would say most of those points come from the horrific treatment and discussions of women from the bullies. But and not super scary. Like, an evil, like, again, an evil car isn't something that, like, is going to happen. And it's not a super, like, scary, spooky. It's more just, like, you know, this car is going to murder people. And it does.
Yeah. I'm going to give this a 2 because I really there were certain elements like where I do think it's like the idea of being chased down with a flaming car I did find like unnerving. But yeah, for the most part, I really enjoy this movie, having never seen it before, but I was not scared in any capacity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think I would necessarily be either.
It's yeah, more just like, more fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, sounds like. But I'm glad, like a great movie.
Yeah. We hope that you guys enjoyed it as well. And, you know, again, it's something I'd always heard about and just was really delighted to finally actually watch and to share with all you guys.
Yeah, good that we're doing Stephen King month, and this is a perfect film to include in this go of that. We can do many Stephen King months if we want to. There are many movies.
And we will.
And we will.
Well, please take care of your cars. You know, get your oil checked. Go get
wear your seatbelt.
Yeah, please.
I know that we all take Ubers everywhere now and we don't really think about it, but put on a seatbelt.
And until next time, please. We ask you.
You must.
Keep it spooky. Ruined is a Radio Point production with executive producers Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder, recorded and edited by Kat Iosa.